Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I'd like to discuss another one of those public, moral, ethical issues that are difficult to discern. The current issue is the deportation of Kilmar Albrego Garcia, the illegal immigrant I sent back to his home country of El Salvador. The Democrats have showcased Garcia as an example of the moral failures of the Trump administration's immigration policy. In a recent interview on the Chris Cuomo show, James Carville, a Democrat party strategist, said the Democrats' top agenda needs to be a return of Garcia back to the United States. We have to keep fighting this. Chris Cuomo, who is a staunch Democrat, responded that this doesn't look good for the Democrat Party to be pleading the case of a gangbanger and trying to bring him back into the country. The Democrats are going to lose this one politically. And over the last week, you know, commentators have pointed out that of all the poster boys the Democrats could have chosen to morally indict President Trump on his immigration policy, they choose this man, who came to the country illegally in 2011. In 2019, he was arrested in a Home Depot parking lot in Maryland with two known members of MS-13, one suspected of murder. They found on him illegal drugs and Garcia. Although he had no criminal record, he had many traffic violations, which he never appeared for in court. A confidential informant told investigators that Garcia was part of MS-13 and Garcia had all of the paraphernalia. An immigration judge ruled that Garcia should be deported. But when the case was appealed to the Board of Immigration's Appeal, the board ruled that the evidence was still insufficient. He could stay, but he was not granted asylum. In 2021, Garcia's wife put out a restraining order on him for domestic abuse. This news came out while Senator Van Hollen from Maryland was down in El Salvador trying to secure Garcia's release. So now the Democrats are seen as trying to secure the release of a wife beater. In 2022, the Tennessee Highway Patrol pulled Garcia over for possible illegal transporting of 8 illegal immigrants from Houston to Maryland, human trafficking. The Tennessee police called federal immigration enforcement concerning what to do with Garcia. But being under the Biden administration, they told the Tennessee police to release him back into the public, which was typical policy for the Biden administration for 4 years. Then in 2025, ICE pulled him over again and said that his immigration status has been changed. It is said that ICE mistakenly sent him back to El Salvador. But no, he was scheduled to be returned to El Salvador. But there was one extra seat on a flight of returning MS-13 members, and they put Garcia in that seat. But if you were to ask Garcia's wife and his lawyer, he's a hardworking father with a clean criminal record. James Carville responded to Chris Cuomo's criticism of Garcia, quote, "There is no evidence that has ever been presented. There is no due process. There is no anything that's agreed on. Every court has said, bring him back." Of course, Carville was responding with exaggerated falsehoods because there is some evidence and there has been due process. The immigration board did not grant him asylum, and no one who's illegal has a right to stay in the United States. And every court did not say, bring him back. The Supreme Court did not say, bring him back. But when someone is emotionally invested in an issue, for ideological reasons, the facts and the details are ignored. And this happens on both sides. Now, the case presented by Garcia's lawyer is this. When Garcia was a boy in El Salvador, his father was a former police officer, and his mother sold tortilla dishes. The entire family, including his parents, two sisters, and an older brother, ran the business out of their home. Abrego Garcia's job was to buy ingredients from the grocery store and to make deliveries with his brother. A local gang began extorting the family for rent money and threatening to kill his older brother or force him into their gang if they weren't paid. The family complied, but eventually sent the brother to the U.S. The gang also targeted Abrego Garcia. When he was 12, the gang threatened to take him away until his father paid them all the money they wanted. The family moved 10 minutes away, but the gang threatened to rape and kill Abrego Garcia's sister. The family shut down the business and moved again and eventually sent Abrego Garcia to the United States at age 16. The family never went to the authorities in El Salvador because of the rampant police corruption. The gang continued to harass the family after they moved to Guatemala, which borders El Salvador. And Abrego Garcia fled to the United States illegally around 2011, according to the documents filed in his immigration case. He joined his brother, who is now a U.S. citizen in Maryland, and found work in construction. About 5 years later, Garcia met Jennifer Vasquez Sura, a U.S. citizen. In 2018, after she learned she was pregnant, he moved in with her and her two children. They lived in Prince George's County, just outside of Washington. In 2019, Garcia went to a Home Depot looking for work when he was arrested by county police. Detectives asked if he was a gang member, and he explained he wasn't. He was detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Garcia later told an immigration judge that he wanted to seek asylum and asked to be released. ICE, however, alleged that he was a certified gang member based on information that came from a confidential informant used by the county police. In October 2019, an immigration judge denied Garcia's asylum request, but granted him protection from being deported back to El Salvador because of well-founded fears of gang persecution. So according to his case, he was released and ICE did not appeal. Garcia has checked in with ICE yearly while the Department of Homeland Security issued him a worker's permit. Garcia joined a union and was fully employed as a sheet metal apprentice. He and Vasquez Sura were raising three children, including their five-year-old son, who has autism, is deaf in one ear and unable to verbally communicate. According to the complaint filed against the Trump administration, they're also raising a 9-year-old with autism and a 10-year-old with epilepsy. So now, after hearing this side of the story, that changes everything. And we become sympathetic for Garcia and his plight. Three proverbs come to mind. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. The first to plead his case seems right until another comes and examines him. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears it, it's folly and a shame to him. And Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8. Do not go out hastily to argue your case. Otherwise, what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Because you find out that you're wrong. Pundits and the media always argue their case before they hear all the facts because they have to pump out programs every day. My advice is to always be skeptical of what you hear in the media, regardless of the source. Now, in regard to the story given in Garcia's defense, remember that people lie. This is exactly what someone who is an MS-13 member or someone who is loosely affiliated with MS-13 would say in order to stay in the country. You know, just watch some of these crime documentaries or Dateline. People who do evil present themselves as the epitome of virtue. Last week, the DHS, after exposing more of Garcia's record, posted on X, Garcia has a history of violence, and he's not the upstanding Maryland man the media has portrayed him out to be. And understand that when illegal immigrants want to stay in the country, immigration lawyers tell them that in order to qualify for asylum, they have to fear for their lives because of some corruption in their home country. So anyone who's involved in this business at all will tell you, these immigrants will fabricate all sorts of persecution stories to win their case. So how's the judge to decide? By who sounds more sincere? Many of these illegal immigrants are lying, exaggerating their persecutions, when actually they just came to the United States for the money. Besides, all of their friends were going to America. The problem is that so many people listening to these stories are naive. They don't believe in evil within themselves, and they don't believe in the evil within others, so they have a very Pollyannish view of the world. And therefore, they develop sympathy for evildoers. Again, because they don't really believe in sin and the due penalty that sin deserves. You know, they're a lot like Cain in Genesis chapter 4. He murders his brother and says, my penalty is too great for me to bear. It's a way of saying in the Hebrew, I don't deserve this punishment, and the punishment is unfair. And I'm sure all of Cain's progeny agreed with their patriarch Cain. It must have all been Abel's fault. And the unsaved, the ungodly in this world, have maintained the same position ever since the days of Cain, excusing their guilt and being opposed to punishment. A key verse concerning this attitude is Psalm chapter 50, verse 17. God says to the wicked, for you hate discipline, and you cast all of my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. See, they hate discipline, punishment. And they have a bias against law enforcement due to their denial of sin and their despising of discipline. Whereas the righteous in the world would say, as in Psalm 141:5, let the righteous smite me in kindness and reprove me. It's oil upon my head. Do not let my head refuse it. Or Zacchaeus, who said, if I have stolen anything, I'll pay it back four times. Or Paul, who said, if I have done anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. And Job continually said in Job 31, if I've done anything wrong, let me be punished. But my point is this. In many people, there is a bias in one direction in favor of evil due to denial of sin and a despising of discipline or punishment for sin. And what's really going on here in the Garcia case, regardless of the facts, is that sides are being drawn based upon people's prior worldviews. That is, whether one is in favor or not in favor of illegal immigration, and then all of the facts are interpreted accordingly. This is really not about Mr. Garcia himself. This is about whether illegal immigrants should be allowed to stay. Garcia is just being used as a test case. If Garcia can't be deported, neither can anyone else. Now, before I discuss the deeper issue behind this case, let me just give you my take on the case, because that's what many listeners probably want to know. First, we will probably never know the true story as to whether Garcia is lying or telling the truth. It's just all hearsay. Second, he did sneak into the country illegally, and therefore he has no intrinsic right to remain in the country. The Democrats who support illegal immigration are making it seem as if only illegal immigrants who have been charged with a crime can be deported. But that's not true. All illegal immigrants can be deported. And it's not wrong to start with those who have been convicted of crimes and even with those who are suspected of a crime. Either way, they're illegal and they don't belong into the country. Third, Garcia has had his due process. In 2019, he made his case and the Immigration Board denied his asylum request. He was only allowed to stay in America temporarily. And fourth, the administration is sending him to his home country of El Salvador. And the current president of El Salvador has eradicated all gangs from that nation. Garcia's home country is now one of the safest places to live in all of Central America. He has nothing to fear. The courts in El Salvador will determine whether Garcia is guilty of some gang-related crime or whether he's innocent. And we should respect the El Salvadorian justice system. It's somewhat arrogant and condescending for some Americans to assume that America is fair and the El Salvadorian people are not. Garcia will be just fine. And we should expect that his family can join him in El Salvador. Yes, there may be mistakes and complications in deporting illegal immigrants, but that's just what happens when you come into the country illegally. But let's get back to the main point. The bias for or against illegal immigration determines whether one sees Garcia as a saint or as a criminal. And we saw the same thing with George Floyd. We're seeing the same thing in the murder of Metcalf. People make up conclusions about stories based upon their previous political ideologies. Now, the big news last week was that the senator from Maryland, Van Hollen, flew to El Salvador to meet with Garcia to check on his well-being. Carolyn Leavitt held a press conference explaining why Garcia was deported. And then Leavitt had Rachel Morin share her story. She is the mother of a girl murdered in Maryland by an illegal immigrant. And this was Van Hollen's district. And after describing the horrific nature of her daughter's death, she made the point that Senator Van Hollen never reached out to her. Van Hollen never spoke up for the rights of victims of illegal immigrants. And this is a legitimate indictment. Why does Van Hollen emphasize the rights of the illegals over the rights of American citizens? In fact, Van Hollen voted against the Laken Riley bill that allows ICE to deport illegal aliens guilty of crimes. Now, Van Hollen claimed that they wouldn't receive due process, when in fact, illegal aliens can be deported without due process as far as a trial is concerned. The fact that they are legal is all that is necessary for their deportation. But even then, the Laken Riley bill wasn't even calling for the deportation of all illegals, but just those accused of violent crimes. But Van Hollen believes illegal aliens should stay because apparently now they're part of the U.S. and we're to deal with them like we deal with U.S. criminals. But this is his own version of the law. Here's an interesting quote explaining how absurd this is. That illegal immigrants can come into the country unvetted, but if they are to be expelled, they have to be vetted. The situation must be litigated. And that double standard completely undermines the U.S. having any borders at all. But that's what the left wants. So here's the quote from the financier Bill Ackman. A nation which has one administration that can allow millions of unvetted illegal immigrants into the country, but requires that a court vet each deportation decision in an individually adjudicated case will soon lose the values our democracy system was intended to preserve. So do you see the problem here? Or rather, the ploy. Allowing millions of illegal immigrants to cross the border, but once inside, each one has to be given a lengthy court case to determine whether he or she can stay in the country. And that's impossible. And the Democrats, who want open borders to change the political electorate of America, know this. So this is their plan to tear down American borders. There is an ideological reason why these Democrats are favoring the illegal immigrants and are demanding due process and trials. Now, last week, the president of El Salvador visited with President Trump, and a press conference was held. The president of El Salvador said he wasn't going to return Garcia to the United States. Garcia is a citizen of El Salvador. He said, what do you expect me to do? Sneak him back into the United States? Now, what's amazing is that the reporters from the left were speaking as if Garcia was a citizen of the United States. And the conversation with the press got quite heated. And President Trump said about the leftist reporters that they would love to release criminals back into our country, that these are sick people. So let's watch this video. It's lengthy, about 4 minutes, but you have to hear all of this discussion if you're to really understand what's going on.
Let's hear the question from this very low-rated anchor at CBS.
Do you plan to ask President Bukele to help return the man who your administration says was mistakenly deported?
It?
The man who was mistakenly deported to El Salvador?
Well, let me ask Pam, would you answer that question?
Sure, President. First and foremost, he was illegally in our country. He had been illegally in our country. And in 2019, two courts, an immigration court and an appellate immigration court, ruled that he was a member of MS-13 and he was illegally in our country. Right now, additional paperwork had needed to be done. That's up to El Salvador if they want to return him. That's not up to us. The Supreme Court ruled, President, that if, as El Salvador wants to return him, this is international matters, foreign affairs, if they wanted to return him, we would facilitate it, meaning provide a plane.
So will you return him?
And you are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Yes. Wait a minute. Can you just also respond to that question? Because, you know, it's asked by CNN, and they always ask it with a slant, because they're totally slanted because they don't know what's happening. That's why nobody's watching them. But would you answer that question also, please?
Yes, gladly. So as Pam mentioned, there's an illegal alien from El Salvador. So with respect to you, he's a citizen of El Salvador. So it's very arrogant even for American media to suggest that we would even tell El Salvador how to handle their own citizens as a starting point. As two immigration courts found that he was a member of MS-13. When President Trump declared MS-13 to be a foreign terrorist organization, that meant that he was no longer eligible under federal law, which I'm sure you know, you're very familiar with the INA, that he was no longer eligible for any form of immigration relief in the United States. So he had a deportation order that was valid, which meant that under our law, he's not even allowed to be present in the United States and had to be returned because of the foreign terrorist designation. This issue was then, by a district court judge, completely inverted, and a district court judge tried to tell the administration that they had to kidnap a citizen of El Salvador and fly him back here. That issue was raised to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said the district court order was unlawful, and its main components were reversed 9-0 unanimously, stating clearly that neither Secretary of State nor the President could be compelled by anybody to forcibly retrieve a citizen of El Salvador from El Salvador, who again is a member of MS-13, which, as I'm sure you understand, rapes little girls, murders women, murders children, is engaged in the most barbaric activities in the world. And I can promise you, if he was your neighbor, you would move right away.
So you don't plan
but
to ask
Supreme
for
it to get
him back.
And what
was the ruling really in the Supreme Court, Steve? Was it 9-0?
Yes, it was a 9-0.
In our favor.
In our favor, against the district court ruling, saying that no district court has the power to compel the foreign policy function of the United States. As Pam said, the ruling solely stated that if this individual, at El Salvador's sole discretion, was sent back to our country, that we could deport him a second time.
Well,
no version of this legally ends up with him ever living here because he is a citizen of El Salvador. That is the president of El Salvador. Your questions about it per the court can only be directed to him.
I ask President Bukele, can President Bukele weigh in on this? Do you plan to return him?
Well, I'm supposed to be suggesting that I smuggle a terrorist into the United States, right? How can I return him to the United States? Like, I smuggle him into the United States, or what do I do? Of course, I'm not going to do it. It's like, the question is preposterous. How can I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? I don't have the power to return him to the United States.
But you can release him inside El Salvador.
Yeah, but I'm not releasing. I mean, we're not very fond of releasing terrorists into our country. I mean, we just turned the murder capital of the world into the safest country in the Western Hemisphere, and you want us to go back into the releasing criminals so we can go back to being the murder capital of the world? No, that's not going to happen.
Well, they'd love to have a criminal, you know, released into
our country. I mean, there's a fascination.
They would love it.
Yeah.
These are sick people. Marco, do you have something to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, Stephen Eitland, I don't understand what the confusion is. This individual is a citizen of El Salvador. He was illegally in the United States and was returned to his country. That's where you deport people, back to their country of origin, except for Venezuela, that wasn't refusing to take people back or places like that. I can tell you this, Mr. President, no, the foreign policy of the United States is conducted by the President of the United States, not by a court. And no court in the United States has a right to conduct the foreign policy of the United States. It's that simple. End of story.
And that's what the Supreme Court held, by the way, to Marco's point. The Supreme Court said exactly what Marco said, that no court has the authority to compel the foreign policy function of the United States. We won a case 9-0, and people like CNN are portraying it as a loss, as usual, because they want foreign terrorists in the country who kidnap women and children. But President Trump, his policy is foreign terrorists that are here illegally get expelled from the country, which, by the way, is a 90-10 issue.
Well, Mr. President, you said that if the Supreme Court said someone needed to be returned, that you would abide by that. You said that on Air Force One just a few days ago. And they said that it must be facilitated.
Why don't you just say, isn't it wonderful that we're keeping criminals out of our country? Why can't you just say that? Why do you go over and over? And that's why nobody watches you anymore. You know, you have no credibility. Please go ahead.
Trump said to a reporter, why don't you just say, isn't it wonderful that you're keeping criminals out of the country? And for me, that statement sums up the real issue here. Why is the emphasis on the part of the Democrats, the defense of the criminals, the illegals? Why aren't they just so happy that these criminals are being deported? Instead, they're trying to discredit the Trump administration at every turn. Now, sure, we're all concerned about human rights, and we're concerned that the innocent aren't falsely accused, but Republicans are and have taken this into consideration. What the Democrats are complaining about is far beyond this. They are emphasizing the protection of the lawless because of their open borders, globalism, lawlessness ideology. Now, in closing, there are many scriptures that address this class of people who justify the wicked, who favor the wicked, who support lawlessness because it's in their lawless nature to do so. They have a camaraderie with lawlessness. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. And Proverbs 24, 24. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous, people will curse him and nations will abhor him. There are people who justify the wicked. And notice it takes great discernment to determine who is truly being compassionate versus who is just actually justifying the wicked. And I guarantee you that those who justify the wicked will always claim that they are operating on the motive of compassion and sympathy. Now, true, they may have compassion, but compassion is really just a neutral emotion. The question is, who are you having compassion for? It could be sympathy for righteousness, or it could be sympathy for the devil. The question is, what is the direction that the compassion is being directed to? Towards good or toward evil? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 23. He who justifies the wicked for a bribe and takes away the right of the one who is in the right. So these are people who will justify evildoers for a bribe, some sort of gain, something that could help their political position or their ideological position. Exodus 23:7, keep far from a false charge and do not kill the innocent or the righteous, for I will not acquit the guilty. Now, reading this, we think, what kind of a judge or judicial system would make false charges and kill the innocent and the righteous? I mean, how could they ever justify this? And I hope we see in this text that evil is more subtle and deceiving than we could ever imagine. These people will justify the wicked and believe themselves to be the epitome of virtue because they feel they're being compassionate on these people. And notice that these biblical injunctions by themselves are morally neutral. Again, Proverbs 17:15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. Well, who are the wicked? A left could read this text and say, well, the wicked are those who are not defending the rights of transgenders. Or the wicked are those who want to keep people from getting abortions. Isaiah 5:23, they would apply to Garcia. They would say these conservatives are taking away the rights of Garcia because Garcia is in the right. So all of these injunctions must be applied through the moral law of God given in other texts. Otherwise, evil people could simply apply these verses to condemn the righteous, which they do, and that's why evil is so deceiving. These things are difficult to discern. That's why we must be fully acquainted with God's moral law. And when it comes to some people putting the emphasis on defending illegal criminals, don't underestimate the God-given red flags. Senator Van Hollen, they are also advocates for abortion, for gender as a choice, for transgenderism. Just recently, Van Hollen voted against banning men from women's sports. And this is a sign that their support for illegal immigrants and illegal immigration is also coming from an immoral ideological foundation. So that they are the ones being described by the prophet Amos. Amos 5:7. Those who turn justice into wormwood and cast righteousness down to the earth. Amos 5:12. Those who distress the righteous and accept bribes. And Amos 6:12. Those who turn justice into poison and the fruit of righteousness into wormwood. Now, at this point, I would love to discuss all of the court cases that leftist lower court judges have brought against President Trump in regard to immigration policy. It's very complicated, and there's not enough time to cover it in this program. But realize this, these court rulings are not organic. Months ago, Democrats held a strategy session with many of these judges, disguised it as a legal conference to coordinate efforts to use lawfare to torpedo the Trump administration. And also realize that the recent Supreme Court ruling, 9-0, that stated that President Trump had the right to conduct immigration policy and the courts cannot interfere, was written in such vague language that both sides are claiming the ruling favors their position. CNN is reporting that the Supreme Court ruled Trump has to bring Garcia back to the United States. Fox is reporting that the Supreme Court rules Trump doesn't have to bring Garcia to the United States. Now, actually, the ruling did favor the Trump administration, but the left is reading into it what they want to believe. And that gets back to my point that worldview determines who one considers guilty and who one considers innocent. On social media, Trump posted an Easter message. Quote, Melania and I would like to wish everyone a very happy Easter. Whether you're heading out to church or watching service from home, may this day be full of peace and joy for all who celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is risen. But then Trump posted a very militant, controversial Easter message. Quote, happy Easter to all. including the radical left lunatics who are fighting and scheming so hard to bring murderers, drug lords, dangerous prisoners, and mentally insane and well-known MS-13 gang members and wife beaters back into our country. Happy Easter also to the weak and ineffective judges and law enforcement officials who are allowing this sinister attack on our nation to continue, an attack so violent that it'll never be forgotten. Sleepy Joe Biden purposefully allowed millions of criminals to enter our country, totally unvetted and unchecked, through an open border policy that will go down in history as the single most calamitous act ever perpetrated upon America. He was by far our worst and most incompetent president, a man who had absolutely no idea what he was doing. But to him and to the person that ran and manipulated the auto pen and perhaps our real president, and to all the people who cheated in the 2020 presidential election in order to get this highly destructive moron elected, I wish you, with great love and sincerity and affection, a very happy Easter. Now, the natural reaction would be consider such comments below the dignity of the presidency, but then stop to consider the horrendous evil that's being perpetrated by these lawless, ungodly social leaders. Have we become so naive to sin and to what the wicked are actually doing that we cower from telling the truth? Yes, we must watch out lest there be false accusations. But what we really need now, more than ever, is a leader with clear moral convictions, even if it's harsh, even if it's offensive. Because the evils being done by these people are horrendous, and we'll never win the moral argument unless we call evil out for what it is. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 8. A king who sits on the throne of justice disperses all evil with his eyes. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 26. A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them. Thanks for listening. In the words of Jesus, do not judge according to appearances, but judge righteous judgments. And may Jesus Christ reign.